Okay, let's move on to another city issue, 258.
Amend the fiscal year 2015-16 revised budget to respond to the housing emergency.
So I want to call up our team from my office, A Home for Everyone and the county, the City Housing Bureau. And have everyone tell us what we're about here.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Josh Alpert, Chief of Staff in the Mayor's Office. I'm going to be very brief so that I can let my teammates here speak to this issue, but first wanted to just introduce why we're here today. This is an unusual and somewhat extraordinary request. Typically, as you well know, we handle budget allocation requests either through the budget process, through our fall and spring bump. And in congruence with the state of emergency, we're here today to go outside of that norm because there is a need on the street currently that is not being met that's causing considerable backlog and actually resulting in more people in danger of falling into homelessness at a time when we're trying to get them out of homelessness. So the package that we're bringing here today is a request for unallocated general fund outside of the budget process to both pay back costs that have been spent by the Office of Management and Finance as we've been moving forward on shelter and other programs, and then a request for additional funding, all of which will be spent in this current fiscal year. Obviously, in the budget process, we'll be making decisions to bring forward to the mayor and council on funding for the next fiscal year. This is all for the remainder of this fiscal year to keep us moving as we're attacking the issues surrounding homelessness. With that, I'll turn it over to Bob Keita to talk about the costs for the Office of Management and Finance.
Good morning. I'm Bob Keita, OMF, working with the mayor's office on several different projects here. The first one we're going to talk about is the Sears Shelter. That's the Sears building on Southwest Multnomah Boulevard. We have opened that one as of Thanksgiving of 2015 for 6 months is the term on that. But as far as our budget for that building goes, we have always operated it as an empty building right now. So putting 175 people in it has its effect on not only the utilities, but on the maintenance calls that we have to go out and service the building, whether it's stopped up toilets or heat calls or things like that. So we've had an increase to our operation budget that we are looking to recoup through this action. The second shelter is the Peace Shelter on 4th and Washington. We got it for a very good price at $1 a month. But with that, we had to take over the actual improvement to make it an operating shelter where we had to do TIs on the building to tenant improvements to increase the exiting to meet fire code for the building, as well as repairing toilets again, the big piece of it, and making sure the heat systems are working in that building. So that's the second item in our request. The campsite facility services is it's a little bit tied to what our base program and facilities was, which is the campsite cleanup program, where we have identified camps throughout the city. And in this program, we are looking to provide basic human services, whether it's a toilet, trash pickup, storage of some sort, fencing off an area to protect not just the residents of the camp, but to keep camps from expanding far beyond, you know, what folks are setting up. So there are several areas in here that we're trying to recover to make sure we have funds to take care of the fencing, the toilets again, the staff time involved with going out, meeting with contractors to do these kinds of improvements. Trash services is one of the big ones in that there are programs where we have folks going around picking up trash everywhere, where we're finding that if we simply locate a dumpster, that the campers, the people will actually clean up after themselves if we provide the simple the simple service of having a dumpster at a site, but again, there's a cost to that, to have that picked up and maintained. So in that, we have the Hazelnut Grove, we have the Forgotten Realms currently, we have other sites that are developing on spring water and other where that we're trying to keep under control and keep these things clean. So there's the big portion of that piece. The next portion is the property broker, as again, we're working with the mayor's office in identifying and housing and identifying properties for shelters. We had our broker service, which we used to find and identify properties that we enlisted first on this project, and determine that just the sheer number of properties that come in, not from everybody who's involved in this process, as well as the community, we needed to have a staff person who could actually be on the ground going out investigating properties and seeing whether or not these properties have a possible purpose for a shelter or for some other long-term purposes in the housing and homeless issues. And then finally on our list is the day storage pilot. So the day storage has, you probably heard, opened up this week at the Hazelnut Grove campsite, as well as the Steel Bridge location over on the west side of the Steel Bridge. The camp day storage, again, is something that we're piloting to see and address the needs of the homeless. Currently, homeless people on the street have nowhere to store their belongings so that they can seek services throughout the day or employment or whatever else it might be. The day storage is being piloted at two locations. One is a non-organized camp. That's the Steel Bridge. That's where we have, just independent campers or small groups of campers that were looking to utilize this service. And then the second site is the, currently anyway, is the Hazelnut Grove, which is an organized camp. And we're seeing if an organized camp has a use for this also in order for people to be able to leave the camp and, again, seek services and do the things that they need to do throughout the day. The day storage units are mobile and portable. It costs us $200 to pick it up and move it somewhere else. So as campers move, we want to be able to move these things in order to provide the service where the need actually is. The day storage units have toilets, they have trash, they have sharps containers, and they have the storage. They're lit so that at nighttime they don't pose a safety issue as far as toilets and those kinds of things being in dark closets. They actually have light. We've got good feedback on that. While we've had the day storage unit placed at the Steel Bridge site for about a month now, we just opened the storage portion of it this week, but the toilets, the sharps containers, and the trash have been utilized for over a month. We're pumping toilets three times a week, emptying trash three times a week. That's two toilets and a two-yard trash container. So the impact on the neighborhood is already amazing as far as the use and that campers using these things, bringing their trash in, using the facilities as they're meant for. So we have surveys that will be going out to the communities as well as the users that we're going to collect information on just to see for the user's perspective, is this working? Is it going to service and provide things that you need to help you find what we need? The day storage units, we also have seven agencies worth of information, pamphlet type forms that will be able to be handed out as the day storage is opened each morning for people looking to find services. So those make up the OMF portion of this request.
Sal, do you want to go through the Housing Bureau portion? Or Mark going to do that? Okay.
Well, so I'll start with a couple of the items. Good morning. My name is Mark Jolin. I'm the Initiative Director for A Home for Everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I want to speak specifically to the rent assistance requests for permanent housing placement and retention and also eviction prevention and a little bit on the shelter services request. In terms of the rent assistance, you're aware we have about 4,000 people a night who are sleeping outdoors or in our shelters. We have another 12,000 people or so a night who are doubled up on couches, sleeping in basements and garages and don't have permanent places of their own to live. All of those folks are looking for permanent housing. At the same time, the continued rental crisis and escalating rents and stagnating incomes are pushing thousands of additional individuals and families to the edge of homelessness every month. Our providers are reporting receiving hundreds of calls for eviction prevention help each month that they have to turn away. Thus far, the state of emergency, under the state of emergency, councils allocated emergency funding primarily to expanding shelter capacity, which is absolutely essential. But if we want to stem the inflow of new people onto our streets and onto our shelter waiting lists, and if we want to help people move out of those shelter beds and into permanent housing, we desperately need additional rent assistance dollars. Our providers are reporting that the increasing demand and escalating costs per household to place and retain in, them in housing has left them entirely spent out of their rent assistance dollars with 4 months left to go in this fiscal year. And that's across the systems. The single system, the family, the youth, domestic violence, and veteran systems have all allocated the dollars they had available. They've done tremendous work with that. As you know, last year, those providers were able to help 3,500 people move into permanent housing. They were able to help over 4,000 people avoid eviction. This year already, in the first 6 months, they've housed over 1,000 people. They've actually helped more than 3,200 avoid eviction through prevention assistance.
Just this year, this calendar year or this fiscal year?
This fiscal, the first 6 months of the fiscal year. So this is not that the providers aren't doing everything they can with the resources they have, but the demand is so high and the cost is going up fast to help families stabilize. And so we're in a situation where they have allocated the resources that they originally budgeted.
Could you just explain to folks at home what short-term rent assistance is?
Sure. So short-term rent assistance, it's very flexible funding that allows a nonprofit agency that is working with someone who is currently homeless to pay first and last month's rent, application fees, past debt, things that are financial barriers to that family getting into housing. It also allows providers to work with families that have currently a housing situation that they could stay in, but for whatever reason they haven't been able to pay the rent, and it allows us to provide rental assistance maybe for a month, maybe two, maybe 3 months. It's not a long-term investment, but it allows that family to bridge whatever the economic crisis is that they're facing.
So that's where you get the 3,000 plus people since July 1st.
That's right.
Didn't become homeless because we gave them a little bit of help.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, Mark, I'm remembering over the years the conversation we've had about short-term rental assistance, which we call STRAW,
mm-hmm.
and that at almost every time this conversation has come up and we've asked the Housing Bureau or our partners, if we had one extra dollar to spend, where would we spend it? I think the consensus has been it's our most flexible and our most effective dollar because it gets people off the street quickly, gets them into existing shelter, and in some instances prevents people from falling into homelessness. And I think the scenario that drives us all crazy is the person that's, you know, $100 short on making a rent payment that leads to an eviction, that leads to a parade of horribles with that family that's all preventable if we can keep them in their home.
That's right.
Mark, I've got sort of a side question, which is, do we know what percentage of the homeless population are people who had a home and they couldn't, the rent went up and they couldn't afford the rent increase?
I don't off the top of my head. I think we've surveyed in the past sort of primary cause of someone's homelessness. I mean, ultimately, everyone who's out there had a home at some point and for whatever reason is no longer there. How many of those it's that the most proximate cause was the rent increase, I don't know the answer to that. What we're hearing from the family system is that about a third of the families that are in the new family shelter have not experienced homelessness before, and that is principally being driven by market conditions in the rental market.
I mean, I think that would be really useful to have, because if rents continue to go up, and if that's a major cause of homelessness, mm-hmm. then we're going to be dealing with a rising level of homelessness unless we can come up with a hell of a lot of money for rent assistance.
Yes, and the challenge of affording the rent, whether the primary cause was a disability or some other one, the continued rise in rent levels is definitely preventing folks from ending their homelessness and is a driver. Just the percentage that you're asking for, I don't have off the top. So that is the piece around the rent assistance. And again, we're hearing from our providers, they've got folks with 72-hour notices. Obviously, we have people in our shelters who want nothing more than to get out of those shelters, and in camps who want nothing more to get into housing, and our providers just don't have the resources to offer. So that's what's driving this, that piece of the request. Then on the shelter assistance side, as you know, we have expanded shelter in the short term through Sears and Peace. We have about 270 more beds through those two investments than we had previously. You also know that our goal is to expand shelter by 650 beds over the next year and a half. In order to sustain the existing new capacity and continue to expand capacity as opportunities arise, that's what those resources are requested to allow us to do. They represent the ongoing expense of whatever the transition sites end up being for Sears and Peace. They also represent costs that would be associated with opening additional shelter options in this fiscal year. And we've been doing this work now weekly under the state of emergency of looking at potential sites and knowing that we need to be able to react quickly when opportunities arise. And this puts us in the position to do that. We've got conversations going on with churches in Northeast and North Portland and East Portland. We're hopeful that some of those will materialize into shelter still in this fiscal year, and if that's going to happen, we'll need some resource both to make the improvements to the sites and then to cover the operating expenses. These are all things that, going into the next fiscal year and the next fiscal year budget, we'll be able to continue. But if opportunities arise now, given the tremendous unmet need that is out there, I mean, we're going to neighborhood associations, and they are seeing folks on their sidewalks, in their parks, in vehicles, wanting us to be able to provide a solution. We're working really hard to create those solutions. This resource is a critical piece of being able to deliver when opportunity arises. So that's what that request is about, ultimately.
In addition, tomorrow, the Multnomah County Council is taking up a similar request for short-term rental assistance dollars at $1 million, so that together we are targeting, we're pooling and targeting that money to give back out to the providers.
That's great. Sally, you want to cover the other items here?
Sure. I'm Sally Erickson. I'm Homeless Programs Manager for the Housing Bureau, and I want to talk about three additional programs for which we're seeking startup funds. With what we're bringing you this morning. One is a tenant protection team. As you're hearing this morning, with escalating rents, we're seeing more tenants that are seeing no-cause evictions or seeing rent escalation who would really benefit from legal services to prevent their eviction. So this would provide some startup funds for that. That's something we would want to continue in next fiscal year, but we don't want to wait till next fiscal year to start it because people are being evicted this month. Secondly, transportation for people experiencing homelessness who are stranded here, and maybe they came here for a job possibility or for family or friends that were here, but they need assistance in getting back to where they have a support system, where there's a place where they might be able to stay permanently. San Francisco has had a similar program since 2006 called Homeward Bound, where they pay transportation assistance so that people can get back to where they have a support network so they're not stranded in that city. So it's something that we're looking to start up.
Let's just be clear. We're not planning to take busloads of folks to San Francisco or Seattle at the same time that they're sending busloads to us. That's not what's happening.
Not at all.
What we're proposing.
Not at all. It's something that, the city, with the rent assistance through the Housing Bureau, allows now. So if somebody came here for a job, it didn't materialize, they have no friends or family here where they could stay, but they have a job possibility in another state or another community. If a nonprofit organization, a staff person can verify that, yes, they do have a permanent place to go, then. But this isn't just handing out bus tickets.
It's connected in every case with casework.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The third thing that we'd like to start now, not wait until next fiscal year, is additional housing placement assistance. We have, as you've heard, new shelters that have opened this fiscal year. We don't have additional rent assistance or staff to help people in those shelters find housing. So we've got hundreds of people that need a little bit of assistance in locating housing, applying for it. And so we want to start up a mobile team of providers from different organizations, including culturally specific organizations, that could help people in the housing search process. So those are the three things that we're hoping to fund with this request today and get it started.
All right, that's the package. Questions?
So I'm mindful that time is going. You have to leave at 11:30, and we have other issues on the council. So quick questions. Remind the folks, or tell the folks at home, where is this new money coming from? Because I think people are saying, oh, suddenly the city finds $2.8 million. How did that happen?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Commissioner. The city had two, somewhat unexpected transfers into the general fund towards the end of this fiscal year. One came from the Portland Development Commission in a proposed deal with a developer for development near Pioneer Square that did not end up happening. There was money that somehow got transferred back into the general fund from PDC. And then the second was from a settlement that our Revenue Bureau and our attorneys had brokered with online travel companies. It was a long, multiple-year legal proceeding that finally just got settled that ended up coming in this fiscal year.
And it ought to be noted that our city attorneys argued these cases successfully.
Yes,
yeah. That's why we're here.
Yeah, forgetting that. And so both of those were one-time money.
Correct.
Right. How much do we have? Does any of this money come from contingency?
No.
Okay, so we still have the same amount left, which is not much in contingency, right?
Just around $1 million, I think.
Right.
Yes.
So all of this money is going to be used in this fiscal year?
Correct.
And there's no intention to carry any of it over to the next fiscal year?
No. If there's money that doesn't get spent, it reverts back into the general fund.
Thank you.
Other questions?
I have a few. Thank you, Mayor. First, a comment. I am going to support this, and I, while it's an unusual process, I think the programs you've identified are compelling. Sally, I think at some point we need to have a clearer sense as a council of what are the anticipated outcomes. We would normally do that through the normal budget process where you would show us each investment and what you hope to accomplish. So I think as a follow-up, I think the council would benefit from having some sketch of what the target outcomes are for each of these investments.
And Commissioner, we do have that. We just, for the sake of time,
I'm not going to belabor that piece. I have great confidence in this bureau. Here's a little secret. If you ask for more, I'd also support more. So that's not the thing that I'm gonna focus on. I'm going to focus on the question of who's the lead agency, because I continue to believe that the Housing Bureau should be leading this effort, and we should be, through the Home for Everyone process, we should be consolidating and streamlining and aligning. And I realize in an emergency, we sometimes have to do things differently. And I appreciate that through the declaration of an emergency, we have opened the door to being innovative and opportunistic as we deal with this crisis. But we are reimbursing the Office of Management and Finance for some expenses. And so I think it warrants a question about going forward. What do you anticipate to be the role of the Office of Management and Finance, Josh?
Commissioner, thanks for the question. And to be clear, our team meets once, sometimes twice a week, and it includes other partners who aren't at the table today, including the county and the county facilities team as well, because our view is that whether it's a campsite, whether it's a shelter, actual bricks and mortar building, those become city and county facilities. And having Bob's expertise in property search and how buildings and outside living situations are assembled and how they become sanitary, we viewed as a facilities operation, and that's been the role that we've used them for during this process. The policies get discussed around that table with everyone who shows up at our meetings, including the county chair's office and others. So having that kind of team has been, I think, a little bit unusual for us in our city when we have the commission form of government, and it's been a little bit clunky, but I think a lot in efficient use of government resource, because we bring the experts to the table. Where the money moves through has been an effect of one who had the money. An OMF had money at a time when the Housing Bureau didn't, and so we availed ourselves of that.
And let me be clear, I think that this question is going to take on a sharper relief as we go through the normal budget process for next year. because I very strongly believe that the governing structure for all of our work in addressing homelessness needs to be the Home for Everyone, and specifically the Housing Bureau needs to be the lead agency. And while I have enormous respect for you, Josh, and for Bob, and the efforts, your efforts, what I want to avoid going forward is what to some may be viewed as a series of workarounds. And having lots of people at the table is great. Having a leader with expertise on an issue is what our system anticipates. And in fact, the Housing Bureau is that lead agency. Sally's shop, whether she's located on this side of the river or the other side of the river, is the top ending homelessness resource in the state of Oregon. I can say that without fear of contradiction. And I just want to make sure that we're aligned and we're not just adding new players and new bureaus and new folks, well-intentioned, but outside of the leadership structure that we've worked so hard to create. And in fact, with the goal of narrowing who's at the table and not expanding who's at the table.
Yeah, I very much agree and appreciate that, Commissioner. And I will tell you, we don't do anything until Mark tells us it's okay to do. And that is because Home for Everyone, we have all recognized and respect as helping to funnel to that narrowing so that we have one set of policies that we move forward. We are working right now on scheduling with the county a joint city-county work session to discuss the lead agency conversation that's moving, and we're looking, I think, at the beginning of April to have that, and it would be a great conversation to answer some of those questions moving forward.
I'm delighted you're going to do that, and the lead agency is code language for whether we, a proposal to essentially co-locate the ending homeless team on the other side of the river and to marry it with the county's parallel effort to end homelessness and to sort of continue the work that we started with RESET of looking for better alignment. And that's a work in progress. If we're going to do that work session, though, I'd like to have as an additional substantive discussion who's on first with respect to all that we're doing, because while I think the state of emergency gave us some flexibility and has certainly allowed for a more nimble and, in some cases, edgier response to some of the challenges we face, I want to make sure that we're honoring the leadership structure which has been in place on both sides of the river to ensure that the values of the Housing Bureau are guiding all that we're doing.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments? Thank you all very much. See if anyone wants to speak on this item.
You have an amendment for this?
I'm sorry, that's a good point. There's an amended attachment A, which doesn't have a different number on the bottom line, but does have different amounts in the line items, so I'd move the revised attachment A.
If I may just address the amendment, it was because we also recognized that our initial effort at this was not necessarily money that wouldn't have to be carried over, so we spent a significant amount of time right-sizing for just this fiscal year, which is why the amendment came forward.
Further discussion on the amendment and a roll call to accept the amendment.
Fritz.
I very much appreciate that. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, let's take testimony if there's anyone wants to speak.
Two people signed up, Charles Johnson and Crystal.
Okay, come on up.
Mr. Walsh will be our lead off.
Back cleanup. All right. Go ahead. Oh, he gets to go first. All right. Mr. Walsh, you've gotten the first dibs if you'd like.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. And again, we take no money from you guys. I'm sad that there's not representatives from the homeless here today. I'm not sure they understood the significance of what's going on here. And that's sad. So part of it, I think, falls on you because they didn't know or they didn't understand. And I'm very uncomfortable speaking for the homeless because I'm not homeless. So I don't feel it. You know, I don't know what it is, 3 o'clock in the morning to be really freezing. Never had that experience. I've always been able to go into a warm place like you, take a hot shower, have some coffee. it's not that you're spending not enough money. I would suggest you're not spending the money correctly. And we asked you over and over again that you have homeless representatives on your committees because they're the ones that know. I can speak theoretically, but you need someone to tell you, Mayor, what it's like constantly. So you pay attention. You have lots of other things to go to that are more pleasant than this. This is a tough question. And I would suggest to you that you might want to consider taking the whole homeless question and separate it from housing, separate it from the shelters, separate it from housing, because it's failed. You've been doing it for years that way, and it's failed. So try something new. Take the homeless, whatever the numbers are. I can't believe the numbers people throw around. 1,800, 4,000, 14,000 on couches and in garages. What is that? We never heard that figure before. I never heard it before. I heard a couple thousand are sleeping on couches, and I've used that one. But I've never used 14,000. So we've failed. So do something new, for God's sakes. Get away from housing. Housing has screwed it up. Do something else, something creative. Get the people off the streets, period. Look at Salt Lake City, for God's sakes. This is not rocket science. They've done it. No. Please look at what they did. And they're conservatives. They're not progressives.
Charles, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you.
Welcome back, Commissioner.
And Commissioner Novick's arrival, I'm Charles Johnson, for the record. Commissioner Novick's arrival is indeed appropriate, since I often specifically mention the attorneys that have been elected to this body. And we have still some cracks that I believe that need to be patched in the very hard and productive work that Josh Alpert and his team are doing. If we really believed we had a homeless state of emergency, we would be, if not compelling, effectively partnering with Judge Nan Waller and the Oregon Department of Justice, and there would be a list telling us exactly how many people are evicted every day and making sure those people get connections with essential services. Some people can handle that all on their own. Other people are going to drift around for a few weeks, and then they're going to end up taking the last little shopping cart of belongings they have left to the day storage unit. So, you know, probably we needed to add a little bit. There's a nice Exhibit A about the money. There was no money on that exhibit to clone Josh Alpert. We need two of them. You know, in addition to the actual service work, it is legitimate to budget for agitation and coordination until we can build a more responsive thing. One thing I hope there will be time to look at is, what does the city of New York do? It has a Department of Homeless Services. And we should look at, if we're really progressive, are we per capita matching and aware of what the need is going to be? And since we're all going to go down to this party at Pioneer Square, I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. Please.
Yes, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Novick, and Commissioner Fish is back. I was just going to say how funny it was that the people who were in charge of housing on this council weren't present. Commissioner Saltzman isn't here at all today, but Commissioner Fish, feels like maybe when you didn't vote for the R2-D2 and some of the comments you make, it makes me think that looking back when you were housing commissioner and I came here at first as a homeless person many years ago, how nothing ever got done. And it was such a disappointment after all the work that Eric Sten had done, Bud Clark before him, but Eric Sten and all the plans we had for the 10-year end of homelessness. And it seems like it's just actually gotten worse, so at least you have that. You couldn't do much under your control. I don't know what Saltzman is doing at all. And as far as this, my name is Crystal Elinsky, for the record. I will say that I think this has been a failure and more detrimental to anything, calling it a state of an emergency. but I'm going to represent 10,000 right now, since I've been wanting to speak about this first since you declared it a state of emergency, and I've since heard so much more feedback from everyone I know. Everyone I know who is a renter has since suffered even more exponentially. It's been detrimental to have a declaration and not a plan. I think part of this budget, I'd like to say we need to include grants. I know you give loans to businesses and then waive them if you want, say to the nines. When I was homeless more recently, somebody introduced me to the dumpster outside the nines, and we were wearing the $9 million slippers that people just throw away when they leave this fancy hotel that gutted out Meyer and Frank. They got a waiver on their loan. But the people who are now suffering under this emergency, as soon as you announced that there was going to be a moratorium on increases, just like when under George Bush, under the 2008 economic collapse, when there was an announcement that they were going to get tight on credit cards, suddenly people's credit cards went up. My mother's went up 36%, and she has a couple million on like 10 different cards, and she's been paying them since the 70s, and all of a sudden she gets an increase too. That's what's happening right now to everyone I know. And people who rent out, they own property and they're renting out, they're claiming that they have to do it because of all the expenses on building, on SROs, on Airbnb taxes, on Uber. Everything. There's an excuse for everything. And it's just perpetuating the problem. There's no plan, and we really need to start over. You can talk about experts and work sessions all you want, but these people need to be able to apply to you right now and say, I need a grant to cover that $200 that they increased after 5 years, the day you announced you were doing an emergency.
Thank you very much. Okay, anyone else?
You're going to spend a lot less money if you keep people in their homes right now than you are going to be putting them, like I said, $50 a month for someone who can stay in their home versus a couple thousand to put them in a shelter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, anyone else? Then, unless there's further discussion, please, let's take a vote.
Fritz? So normally I wouldn't be supportive of spending $2.75 million in new resources outside of the budget process and with little public warning or input. Even it could have gone into the budget monitoring process. I do appreciate that if we didn't spend this money right now, it could indeed fall to ending fund balance, and that would be an additional $1.4 million for capital maintenance projects, which, as Commissioner Saltzman pointed out yesterday, we do need to be continuing to invest in safety on our streets, with 37 people having died last year on our streets in violent traffic accidents. And there are people dying on our streets from being lack of shelter. We have a homeless and housing affordability emergency. For those who have been sending us emails that we're not doing enough, we know we don't have enough resources. And even with this $2.75 million, we do not have enough resources. So we agree. It is a tragedy that people are outside. And I really appreciate the team's work on this. As Ms. Alinsky just noted so cogently, giving people rent assistance in particular, stopping people from becoming homeless, is by far the most cost-effective, and there's a good chunk of change in this ordinance for that and for other necessary things. While we continue to put most of the city's money into long-term housing, as we should, we do need to also continue to fund shelters, and we could use some help from the business community to do that. And for these reasons, I'm going to set aside the objections I stated about doing this outside of the budget process. Thank you, Mayor, for your leadership on that. Thank you for both Josh Halpert, Bob Keita, and Sally Erickson, as well as Mark Jolin coordinating with the county. We are actually doing things differently, and I appreciate that. Aye. Fish?
First, I want to just acknowledge that we haven't had Sally in our chambers in a while. I know she's been out for a while, but Sally Erickson and her team that work on long-term, cost-effective solutions to ending homelessness have been leading the way for a long time. And Sally, thanks to you and your team. And whether you go to work on this side of the river or the other side of the river, you're going to continue to be playing a leadership role in helping us get it right. And I also want to acknowledge Mark Jolin. I think the decision to place Mark in as the quarterback on the Home for Everyone, Mayor, was inspired. And he's been a great leader. You know, we have gotten to a point as a country where on almost every issue we come together and we bemoan that the cup is half empty, and we, friends and foes alike, we simply make up claims of failure and somehow feel better as we go home at night, poisoning the record with misinformation, disparaging people that are actually doing the work, and ultimately accomplishing nothing other than self-indulgent exercises. And we politely listen to it, and we politely play along, but every once in a while, what we need to say is that an awful lot of work has been done by an awful lot of very, very passionate people. And I sometimes grow weary of all the misinformation that is a substitute for thoughtful discussion. And I particularly, the people up here ran for office, and part of running for office is that you have to take the slings and arrows. But the people doing the work in the trenches deserve our respect. They deserve our respect. They deserve our respect. And I'm going to support this today because I have such respect for the people that are actually getting up every day trying to make a difference in our community. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people have a better life in our community because of their collective efforts. And today, we're investing in success, not failure. We're investing in a plan that has changed people's lives and will continue to make a dent. And for those who somehow think that Portland is this isolated sort of place over here that has a unique situation with homelessness, I invite you to go to New York City, where they're under a court order to provide emergency shelter for 60,000 people a night. I invite you to go to Los Angeles, where a federal judge recently declared there were 50,000 unsheltered people and growing. I invite you to watch the debates for the President of the United States, and two things you'll notice. One is that housing does not come up as an issue. And two is there's an entire party that apparently, as his platform, believes we should eliminate federal funding for housing. So we have a tough hand. And every once in a while, we step up and we say, let's do a little more. And this is a little more. It's not enough. I wish we had more money. But I am deeply, deeply proud of the people that are doing the work out there. Deeply proud. And I regret that at moments when we should be acknowledging good work, we often spend too much time with nonsense that has absolutely nothing to do with the subject before us. So, Mayor, I thank you for your leadership. To the team that came before us, I thank you. And this council is committed to providing the resources to move the ball. And for that, I'm proud. Aye.
Very much appreciate what Commissioner Fisch just said. Also appreciate what Commissioner Fritz said about her usual reluctance to engage in budget decisions outside the budget process, which I share, but I also share her reasons for going along with making a budget decision outside the normal budget process in this case. Just wanted to briefly touch on one element of this proposal, which is funding for day storage facilities. I think that's important, not just for people who are homeless, but for the larger community, because I think we get calls from people who are upset about seeing the homeless people on the streets and sidewalks. I think to a great extent what they're upset about is seeing a bunch of stuff lying around. And if there's places for people to put their stuff, then that's good for the people whose stuff it is, but also for the people who would no longer see so much stuff lying around. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to start by saying that if it were technically, scientifically, and financially possible to clone Josh Alpert, that would have been the first line item in this proposal. But unfortunately, science doesn't allow us to do that just yet. But I want to thank Josh and Bob and Mark and Sally and the others that were here today and the others doing this work, because you are really making a difference. You're all working really hard, and I do appreciate it. When we took action to declare a state of emergency, some people said, well, what does that mean? What is it? Does it mean anything? Is it just words? It's three things, two words each. Number one, it's rapid action. It's doing things quickly. We've opened 400 shelter beds in this community since we declared a state of emergency. Some of them are temporary, so we're going to have to replicate that feat a few more times here very shortly. But rapid action is job one. Second is deliberate experimentation. We are trying things. We are learning things. We are learning from other cities. We had the mayors of the West Coast cities here in December, and we spent a whole day along with the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and the head of the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness talking about what works and what doesn't work and how many more people we're each dealing with, as you mentioned, Commissioner Fish. So we're learning from each other. In fact, following that meeting, because of a discussion at that meeting, Commissioner Saltzman and Chair Kafoury and the folks here before us got on an airplane, went down to San Francisco, and spent a day looking at the Homeless Navigation Center there, which is, I believe, a better mousetrap than something that we should replicate here, and similar to but different from the Bud Clark Commons. The second item is deliberate experimentation. Some of the things that we're trying are going to work, and some of them aren't. And everybody needs to understand, just like the innovation proposal, which we may not get to today on the council calendar, that it's okay for government to try things as long as we're doing that with our eyes open, and then we measure and see what works and do more of it. And the third one is real money. So rapid action, deliberate experimentation, and real money. Those are the ingredients of the state of emergency that makes a difference. And taking TIF to 45%, having the Housing Bureau, thank you, Director Krieger, get that money out on the street in large doses quickly is the right response from our Bureau, and I appreciate the good work there. And this is one more sign that that commitment is real. And we should take note of the fact that progress costs money on this or any other front. We have a local business group that's been spending their money on buying billboards to say we can do better. Well, we can do better, but it costs money. And everyone should keep that in mind. And I'm very glad that we're committing this money to this good work. Aye. Thank you all. Now, I'm going to have to leave pretty quickly, but I think we should try to do one or two things.
That you want to, well, if,